Verses 37 to 43 of Arjuna's, what do you call it? His reasons for not fighting. Destruction of family tradition. In verses 37 to 38, Arjuna blames the Kauravas of being greedy and fancies himself as a man of superior knowledge. In this way, Arjuna demonstrates another characteristic of the conditioned soul. Conditioned soul is expert fault finder. He is very quick to point out defects in others and is blind of his own discrepancies. Arjuna had enough intelligence to see the greediness of the Kauravas, but failed to recognize his own illusion. So it's not that someone sees something wrong in something else. It's not necessarily that it's not true. It may be true. But there is the question of what's the reason that one is seeing that? Or how is it one's ability to see that? Because from the point of view of that one can see it, one can only see something that one has a quality in. Right? It means you can see color because you have eyes. Right? Does that make sense? So you only see things that you yourself value, either in the positive or the negative. Right? So something that you're doing or something that you're not doing, these are the things you'll see. Right? In the conditioned state, because you're only conditioned to see what is according to your nature. So you can only see within the realm of your nature. Does that make sense? So if you see, oh yeah, this person's political, that person's political, that means you have to have a political quality within your nature. Otherwise, how will you see it? People who aren't political don't know it. They're naive to politics. Does that make sense? You know, someone who appreciates beauty can go out and see beauty. Someone who doesn't appreciate beauty, they never see it. Does that make sense? You know, so they only see what's important. Like a child, they like to play. So any place they are, they see the opportunity to play. But they can't see beyond that. They can't see, well, this is the living room where there's guests or you're in public or this situation is such that it's not good to play and you may break something. They don't see that. All they can see is, because they don't care. Something breaks, people are there and see, what do they care? As long as they're playing, they're happy. Does this make sense? So here the point is being able to find fault, that means there is some intelligence and you're connecting something. You're able to discriminate. So yes, there is some element there. But what's not appreciated is, why is it you're able to see? And then having seen it, what's your conclusion? That's where you actually tell if they're intelligent or not. Because anybody who's observant can see things. Right? That's not, you know, anybody who's a little practical can see something. So that you see a weakness, and then you consider because they have the weakness, you're superior because you can see it, then that's not so important. The point is, the weakness is there. That's going to be a weakness in one's devotional service. So then, seeing that, are you able to show them how to go beyond that? How to develop it? How to improve it? That's intelligent. But just to be able to see it, that you can train anybody, basically. So that's not what's important. So here is, he's seeing the fault, and he doesn't have that fault. He's not greedy. He's trying to be compassionate. They're greedy. But the point is his compassion is for the point of wanting to enjoy with the family. Right? So both of them are looking at the element of how to fulfill your own personal desires through the family. Dhritarashtra, through them all getting killed, so he's the king. And for Arjuna, by them being alive, so they can enjoy and share, you know, their experiences. But in any case, they're both wanting to enjoy the family. Just one is in a, you know, positive aspect, one's in a negative, but it's the same. You understand? That's what we're saying, is how Arjuna is able to see it because he has that. Otherwise, this wouldn't be the point. The point is, you know, it's irreligious and this and that. But here, the greed, the this, the that, and then somehow another his compassion. You understand? Otherwise, it was being done from a dharmic point of view. It would be pointing out dharma against dharma. It would be in the field of dharma. But here, it's my material quality is better than your material quality. Does that make sense? And because of our attachment to piety, because good qualities get good results, so that we'll say that's better. But if it doesn't get Krishna, then it's still useless. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's the point that we see here. Arjuna argues that the battle would destroy the family tradition. In this purport to verse 39, Prabhupada explains, Srila Prabhupada explains, in the system of the Varnashram institution, there are many principles of religious traditions to help members of the family grow properly and attain spiritual values. The elder members are responsible for such purifying processes in the family, beginning from birth to death. But on the death of the elderly members, such family traditions of purification may stop, and the remaining younger family members may develop irreligious habits and thereby lose their chance for spiritual salvation. Therefore, for no purpose should the elder members of the family be slain. So elders is, they have, see, it's when one's younger, one may know something. It's not that the elders didn't learn what they know when they were in Gurukul, right, as students. And it's not that the present generations that are younger than them didn't also learn the same thing. But what's the difference? The difference is there may be the difference between understanding and realization. Because you learn it in the school, if you realize it, great. But if you don't, you have the understanding, then you practice it. But there's always the thing of, you know, you may try this or that, or, you know, in this situation you could be lenient, or that one you wouldn't, or trying to find the balance. So after, you know, time, you know, a lifetime of how do you say, practice, then one becomes convinced that the Vedic rule actually is always important, always applicable, and how to make it always applicable. Does it make sense? So the elders have that realization. Now, of course, in the Vedic principle, elder means one who has that realization. So you might have a person who's younger, and for that reason, but they have realization, so they would be an elder. Right? So the elder is one who keeps the family together. Right? Who keeps the community together. So even if they're young, it doesn't matter as long as that's what they're able to do. That makes sense. So elder is in the social position of understanding, realization, sacrifice. Right? Does that make sense? That would be what's important. Because those are the most, your devotion, of course, the highest, then knowledge, then sacrifice. Then after that, influence, wealth, family relationship, all these different things. So generally they all come together when one's older, but it doesn't mean that when one's younger it wouldn't be the same. That's why the elders are always protected. They're always taken care of, because they have something valuable to give you in the way of understanding. Lack of proper training will create havoc in the society. When the family leaders are dead, the family becomes involved in irreligion. Women lose their chastity. The result is unwanted progeny, Varna Shankara. When Varna Shankara floods the world, the performance of Vedic rituals stop. The forefathers are degraded, and all kinds of community projects and family welfare activities are devastated. Varna Shankara mixed. So the point is basically speaking, is according to the environment that you have, which will be established, and according to the training of the women, that's going to determine your social quality. like that. Much of the time it's just this training, there's rules put in place. Let's say this would be standard. You put rules in place and people have managerial authority. And then they figure that's going to make community. Right? You know, you set a bunch of rules and there are people who are there that to see that the rules are followed. Right? Do we have experience of this? Right? When there's a community and people get together, we have to make a community. What's the first thing they do? Make the rules and who's in charge. Right? It's always the way it is. And then after that meeting, then supposedly now everything's going to go fine. Does it?
No.
No, not necessarily. A couple of weeks, this and that, and then after that it disappears. Why does it disappear? Yeah, motivation's not coming from inside like that. It's not natural, it's not spontaneous. In other words, those who are the authorities, it's not their natural lifestyle. It means, because what is it? You have a meeting of a whole bunch of people. So for one person, it's this thing. And for another person, it's that thing. So now all those people are authorities. But they only actually have some interest in one of the points. So the other 9 points, they don't have interest. Right? So it doesn't. So the realization's not there. They haven't. They don't know why those rules are important. They just know that they're something connected with them. Maybe either just the piety of that you do it as Vedic and this and that. And if you do the ritual, everything's perfect, right? Like Jaimini says, right? Isn't that what Jaimini says? Right? You do the ritual, you will get the result. That's his philosophy. But we understand that the result's still up to the independence of the Lord. Because you do the activity, yes, you'll get the result for that in the future, but you also have so many other things that you've done. So the Lord has to balance what you've done and what you do now and give you a result based on that, what you deserve. Right? Not just what you think you want. Right? So it's very complex. So Jaimini isn't exactly right. Then the other aspect is that do people, because we see it's by realization. Now, in the standard point, here's family members, elder family members. What's the relationship between the... Okay. Just in theory, maybe you could answer this. What's the relationship between the elder members of the family and the junior members of the family in this context?
They protect them.
So there's a good relationship, right? Yeah. Okay, so you talk as if there's some understanding of this, but for many this may not be a reality, right? You know, anyone over 30 you don't trust, right? You know, that's the it's like that, you know. Yeah, that was at least the saying we used to say, right? You know, the hippies, anyone over 30 you can't trust them, right? That what they forgot was another couple of years and they'll be over 30, right? You know, and working back on Wall Street, right? You know. Yes. Yes.
How is it connected to the important quality of women's attitude?
I'm getting to that. So what I'm pointing was, first we're making the environment that the method that devotees use now isn't complete enough. That was the point of establishing this. So now, the point is now the elders of the family, they have a good relationship. There's protection, there's affection, there's all these different things. Therefore, you're going to trust them on this. So it's not by fear you create community, because community means like-minded persons. They have same values. Right? So that means because there's like-minded, then there can naturally be affection between them. Right? What's one of the, like, in the modern context, what's one of the main things in a meeting that you want to avoid? Right? That according to this, opposite of this. Right? You want to make sure that there aren't many people in the meeting who have a similar kind of way of viewing things. Right? Because if you have one idea, you don't want anybody else with that. And if two people are friends, you'll say, they're biased. If you're a friend, you're biased. Biased means you have a predetermined opinion about someone. like, let's say, something I have a good example, but I don't know if it would be good to mention it. Being from Poland, right, you know? Just like there, the idea was, if you go back a few years, all Jews and all gypsies are bad. Right? And you had nice little summer camps for them to stay in, right? Yes? That's bias. You don't know the person, they're automatically good or bad. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, like Poland, you know, all Germans are a bit dry, you know, and formal, like that. They're not more relaxed and laid back. But there may be, but there's differences. You know what I'm saying? That's bias. Okay? So the tendency is to think that if you're friends with somebody, then you're automatically supporting. So therefore, that's bad in the meeting. So you want to have a meeting of all kinds of people who have nothing to common with each other, maybe even better, as they're not even really supportive of each other. Then that will be a perfect meeting. And in that meeting, you'll be able to establish community. Like that. It hasn't worked for as long as I've seen them try to use it. I saw more community when everybody was friends. Because even friends have differences of opinion. Right. So then now we see is that it's because of that friendship and having the common value, common viewpoint, that you can create the community. Okay? But now, going back to our first thing, the person has the authority, the rules are there, but why is it nobody follows up on it? Practical reason. They don't feel shelter. That would be good. Means, well, that will be the persons who are under the rules and under that authority. They won't feel shelter. So they're not going to feel much like being part of it. Okay. And, okay, so maybe we can bring that and the other. There's something common between that and the persons who are in the position to get it done.
They're not following it for dharma.
They're not following it for dharma. That might be there. But at the same time, they might, you know, be trying to practice the dharma. There's a central point in relationship to this verse.
They don't feel any need to apply the rules to help everybody else.
They don't feel a need to apply the rules to help everyone else. Okay, but at the same time, they were in the meeting and they were fired up, and yes, we got to establish these rules. Yeah, they don't know. Well, that's the whole point, that they made the list, because they started off with things that were external forms of a culture that's not theirs, but the elements of that culture that they find common in theirs, they'll try to apply it according to their culture as opposed to the Vedic system. So you're going to get that. So that's also going to create confusion. Yeah, they don't feel responsibility. Yeah, lack of trust. But now, what do they feel responsible for on a day-to-day basis? We're talking community here. No, but the individual. He's not doing something for the community because he's busy taking care of his own responsibilities. His own responsibilities are family. And what makes a family? A wife. You understand? Arjuna could have said so many things. Did he mention kings? Did he mention Brahmins in specific? Right? Did he mention women?
Yes.
He could have said family members. The elders and the family members. But he specifically mentioned women. Why? Because if the women don't like it, it doesn't happen. Think about it. The guy is jumping up and down, but if his wife says this is stupid, how much can he push? Because if he does, then he runs the risk of coming home and needing a block of ice. And as we know, icebergs, 1/10 is above the surface. The 9/10 is below the surface. And you don't want to know about the 9/10. Right? Why is it in the community that the others then don't feel safe? Because the women don't feel safe. They have to be protected. So if the community, by their rules and their authority, aren't protecting them, they're not going to be safe. And if they're not satisfied, are the husbands going to be?
No.
So Arjuna is smart. He knows if the women aren't protected and taken care of, then there is no community. There is no family. Because you have a bunch of men together, it's not family. Right? Right, isn't it? And generally, who do you see on these committees? Much of the time, men. And but whether they have good relationships with their family, that's another thing. Right? Sometimes it's because they don't have a relationship there, they want to establish it everywhere else, you know. You know what I'm saying? So their own there. Or a lot of times you have elder women who are not married. You know? It's also very common. Like that. Rare, now and again you have someone who he has a functional family. He's actually able to do something. So that means those things do apply in his life, and so therefore he can give it to others. But that means he is properly dealing with his family and his wife. So therefore he can do something. But these others, like you had said, they it doesn't really mean much to them. There's an issue behind it. They're talking religion, but there's a motive, like Arjuna. Right? They don't feel that they want authority in the community, but they don't actually have authority in their own house. Because they don't know how to behave. You understand? So, he's pointing out if the women aren't protected, then nothing works right. Right? Now we're working on affection. Right? And the point is if that affection is strong, then the women are focused. That affection is not strong, that protection is not there, they will look for protection. So then it may move around the community. Right? And because it's emotional rather than intellectual, so even though you know it may end up with bad children, it doesn't matter because it's interaction, is there something there, it is some kind of children. Does this make sense? Right? So it's a very great reality. Does it make sense? So the community going right is dependent upon your women. And the going right with the women is dependent upon your elders. Right? Because the women will follow, you know, those who are protecting, taking care, dealing properly. Right? So it's not management. It's not authority, it's not rules. It's actually the realization of the elders and the nice relationship with the community that therefore generates everything properly. Does this make sense? So this give a clue on why communities aren't functioning? Because their approach is completely wrong. But that doesn't mean now, oh, see, it's the ladies, so put the ladies in charge. That doesn't work either. You know, because ladies want to be in charge of the other lady control like that and then use the men to get all their stuff. That won't work either. It has to work in its proper balance. In other words, the women are very important, so they have to be protected. Not the women are very important, they're in charge. No, they're in charge in their own house. They're not in charge of the community. Right? Does that make sense? So you have to find that balance. That's the thing. So he's mentioned this. So now, if that protection is not there, then you'll end up with Varna Shankara. Right? Unwanted population.
Could I say that the movement was made like a bachelor's economy?
A bachelor's economy. Mean, you're talking economically, or are you using the terminology? Yeah. You could say, but right now I would basically say there's no economy. Because then who is generating the money? Because if you say it's a grihastha, are the grihastas actually generating the money? You know what I'm saying? Who in the temple is going out and shaking the cans or going to the Hindus and getting donations? It's still the brahmacharis and brahmacharinis. It's just that before the individuals needed less money, and so the maximum money would go into the preaching. And now it's the individuals need lots of money, so therefore there's a shortage always because you can never satisfy that. And then, you know, so very little preaching projects go on. Individuals may do it, but it's not as a driving force. You know what I'm saying? So economically, it's not the thing, because economics is an artha. The problem is that the view is not from Dharma. So he's giving Dharma, but he's using it as an excuse. But it's not that these points aren't correct, because this will happen. All that he predicts will happen. But the point is it's Kali Yuga. That's just the way it is. You know, so the individual, it's not Arjuna's business. His business is to kill all the demons. Now, each individual's business is to try to elevate themselves and understand what's proper behavior and try to bring themselves up to the proper standard. You know, and as we discussed, was it yesterday or the day before, is that if you do that, then so many people do it, then that generates a golden age. That golden age simply means people are God conscious. Right? In Treta Yuga, then you had a golden age after Parashuram killed the kings. Because now there were no bad kings. You had the queens, and then there are no kings. So you need kings. So, because it's in the Treta Yuga, then they applied the rule of Niyoga. So the queens went to the elevated Brahmins. You know, the sages in the forest, because they were all hiding in the forest. And then from them generated progeny. And so now you had kings, kshatriyas, but they were from very, very good stock. Right? So they were basically almost like Brahmins. So they ran their kingdoms in such a way that the whole world was like Satya Yuga, even though it's in Treta Yuga. So that's the same in the Kali Yuga. If everyone takes up chanting, then everything becomes a golden age. Prabhupada said 1% of the population. Right? 60 million. That's all. Right? Then everything will change. Like that. So that's the individual has to take it. Not that it's an excuse. Right? So does that make sense? So the Dharma aspect of what's the nature, that has to be seen. What's the nature of an elder? What's the nature of a community? What's the nature of the rules? What's the nature of a family? And what's the nature of a husband and wife or parents and children? What are the nature of these? That's not seen. It's always looked at as economics. Right? Varnashra means how you make your money. The Varna, but how you make your money is basically only half of the concept. And in reality, if you look at it, it's less than half. Because the Brahmins don't make their money by a separate occupation other than performing the duties of ashram. Right? So in other words, the duties of ashram take 5 out of 8 positions. Does that make sense? So to then label Varnashram as the economics, since the economics is one, you have dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Artha is based on dharma. No dharma, no artha. Right? We don't preach. Where's the money going to come? We're not doing pious activities. Right? So it's not going to come from that. And we don't preach and do that. Where's it going to come from? You know, they have all these schemes that are used by, I mean, studied by losers. The people who wrote the books, they're successful. But from one of two points, they're successful in trying to help out the idiot and making a few more bucks on the side, or that's how they made their money. You know what I'm saying? He's talking about, the guy's writing about successful people, but he's not technically doing it. He's writing the book and becoming successful through that. So it is an application of what he's doing. But it's only in the Brahminical fashion. But the people coming to him are businessmen. Does this make sense? So devotees are trying to use the methods of losers, and it's not generating anything. As long as I've known that they've been chasing after this since the mid-90s, I haven't seen any more money. So economically, it's not working because they're trying to find economics separate from Dharma. Because we're devotees, we don't care for the rules. But it's God's creation. You got to care about it. You understand? So the point is, in here, is we've satisfied all these religious elements in this first chapter. Because otherwise, one may think philosophy has nothing to do with religion. Or, because you have avoided the religion, then it's not applicable. Like the Upanishads, that's very nice for the sages, but we're grihasthas, so how does this apply in our life? Right? So the Gita, because it's being written for grihasthas, right? The Mahabharata is for grihasthas. So therefore, it is written that it takes care of that, but it shows that there's something beyond Dharma. This spiritual perspective. Right? So when the political correct Wallace say perspective is everything, yes, spiritual perspective is everything, and anything else is, you know, perspective fit for, you know, idiots. That makes sense? So here we've gone through all the aspects, how to properly deal, how to, you know, the emotions, the family situations, everything that's what someone would deal with. Then, having dealt with that, then in the second chapter, then we transfer from that perspective of the mundane to the perspective of spiritual. But as we see in the conclusion, he's still a Kshatriya, he's still a householder, he's still fighting. So, nothing changed. What changed was his spiritual or material perspective. Right? This is what Krishna is trying to give. Very different from what we do. Spiritual, nothing material. Material, nothing spiritual. That's karma and gyan. That's been going on since time immemorial. Let's have something different. Say, well, no, we're different. We'll do something new. Yeah. Do devotional service. That's different. Right? Anything else, everybody's been doing it since time immemorial. Does that make sense? Right. So now, what's the problem with Varna Shankara? Varna Shankara, a mixed population, is dangerous because it lacks material and spiritual identity. Society can be peaceful and prosperous only when its members are well acquainted with their duties. Persons who do not identify with particular Varna ashram do not follow any set of duty and are thus unpredictable in their behavior. The science of self-realization starts from resolving one's material nature. Taking a clear stand in terms of Varna and ashram is conducive for spiritual advancement. Because how do you have a relationship with anyone? How do you perform an activity if you don't know who you are? Right? We've already established that you can't perform an activity unless you know who you are in relationship to that field. And the point is if you went around, then ask everybody, who are they? Now, on the point, are you spirit soul or are you the body? All devotees will say they're spirit soul. So that, therefore, they can chant their japa, go to the Mangala Arati and everything like that. They're successful in that way. Right? But if you say, okay, what's your material condition nature? What is it? Then people are very confused. Yes? Varna for women.
Yeah.
Means how Varna for women works. It's one of these subtle, very confusing elements. Because you have the element that this will be according to, you know, those who are, how you say, yeah, being from the pro-Vedic, okay? Then they'll say is that whoever the woman marries, that's the Varna she is. Like she marries a Brahmin, then she does Brahminical duty. She's Kshatriya, that, like this. So that's true by the family. What are her duties as such? But the point is duties come from an inherent nature. Like a Brahmin does Brahmin duties because it's his inherent nature. You know, it means conditionally. So the point is and Manu is very strong on the point that one marries someone of equal nature. Right? That means he has an inherent Brahminical nature, the woman has an inherent Brahminical nature. Right? But occupation means what you do outside of ashram to support yourself. Right? So technically the women function within ashram. Because you have your sadhana, you have your religious duties, you have your family duties. You don't have, as such, technically, an occupation. The occupation, like Brahmins, their occupation is their sadhana. Right? So women, their occupation is that sadhana and family life, but the supporting part of what the husband is doing. Does that make sense? So technically, on one sense, you could say it's more on a brahminical level. You know, it's very simple and this and that. No matter what it is, it's always based on religious values in that. Does that make sense? While others, then it's religious values, but it may not... Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So you're going to have some subtleties here. Very subtle. Now... But the point is otherwise, why is there Varna Shankara? I mean, other than it's an illicit connection, then that's obviously Varna Shankara. Yeah, but you're mixing Varnas. So it says if a Kshatriya man has a child with a Brahmin woman, you get a Sutta. But so if the woman didn't have a nature, right, the Brahmin woman has married the Kshatriya man, so technically now she follows the Kshatriya culture. That he follows in his house, in the king, in the palace. But she's still by nature a Brahmin. So their child will be a Sutta. Right? So if there wasn't nature of woman, a Varnic nature, then what's the meaning? But it's not that they perform the duties of that Varna to maintain themselves. But they're the companion of someone who does. Right? Very subtle. This will be in its natural state. Right? Then, okay. Then one may say that in the modern scenario, then so many women are having to maintain themselves, have occupations. So that is there, but the approach that is there is different still than the men. Because the men, it's an occupation. Then they have their family and their sadhana and all that. Women won't separate it. So the occupation is simply an extension of the family element. So technically what the woman is doing is approaching and applying the arts that she is good at, and making money from that. Does that make sense? It's like, the science of economics, then the guy may know all the science and charts and this and that, nice, and the woman's good at it, it's intuition. She just knows, if you buy this, people are you get this stock, people will buy it. She has that feel, which is the important element of making it work, because you always have to take a science has to be applied in the art. But they're applying the art without the science. You know what I'm saying? So technically it's art. So that's why women are called artists. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to say a woman has a varna, then you would have to say it's Shudra. Right? But her nature is such she may be brahminical. Does that make sense? So it's not that, even if she's a businesswoman, she thinks like that, but still she's applying the art. So it's still a Shudra approach. So that's why it's still not exactly the same. Because the men in the office, you just get the work done. The women, you have to do something. You have to make it nice and bright and fresh and, nice. People have to dress nice. People have to talk nice and have proper interactions. And so many things will be in consideration of that. Well, the men, it's just get the work done and then it's over. You can go home. You know what I'm saying? So the women will bring the home to the office. And it makes it conducive for them to perform their art. So it is successful. But ultimately, on the biggest levels, then at one point you generally see is when you need more of the science, it's men who are doing it. You know what I'm saying? It's like the top guys in finance in the world, they're men. There's no women. But a woman, let's say, in diplomacy, she can be very expert. So you may have a woman who is the, what do you call it? The foreign minister, or, you know, the home minister, the one that goes out and talks to the other countries, heads of states, ambassador, these guys, they're good at that because there's an art there. Like that, you know. And so the best of them can do that. Many times they do it better, you know, in the modern scenario because they're more sensitive than the men are. But at the same time, on certain levels, then it won't. So what you always find is at a certain level, then, you know, when the science is necessary more, that's when the women drop out. You understand? But up to that, whatever is the greatest, great element of their art, they're better. Just like women are by nature artists. So you'll find in most families, the women can cook. But when you come to, let's say, those who make a living off of cooking, you know, chefs, you'll probably find majority are men. But it's not that they're not good women chefs. It's just that they're better artists. You know, but the man will think about it in the science of the cooking, and then he has the art side to it. You know, so if it's all science, then it won't come out good because he can't apply the art. If it's just art, then he can only go so far. Because you can only expand the art if it's dependent upon the science, right? The feminine nature can get more and more powerful dependent upon the masculine nature. As the masculine grows up, the feminine could go. Right, so a more powerful woman connects herself to a man who's more powerful than she is. Then it can move forward. You know, if he's less powerful, she can't go any farther. Does that make sense? It's a very, very subtle kind of thing. So that's why, unless one can understand all this, it's not really a worthwhile discussion. The women will say all kinds of things, but, you know, will it happen? Does it happen? You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Is it that women have difficulty understanding the science, or they're not inclined to understand?
The women have difficulty understanding the science. It's not so much they have difficulty understanding it. The point is that the science will always be mixed with the art, which is mixed with the emotions. You understand? Well, the man can look at a science with no emotions and no other considerations, and just analyze the science as it is. And then from that, then you get further understand. Then you can bring that back and extend the art. Right? But when you take the art and you try to go, it's just there's theory, but it's not where the realization is. The realization is in the art. You know what I'm saying? You know, with time, then more and more of that applies because you've done it. In other words, the less intelligent here means the man can learn through hearing, not necessarily that he will. Right? So, you know, your first class man learns by hearing, second class by seeing, third class by experiencing. But for women, because they deal with the art, they only learn through experiencing. So if it gives an experience, they learn it. If it doesn't give an experience, they don't learn it. Does this make sense? So that's why they know it, but they can't do it. And then it'll go wrong, and then they'll, you know, think of a different way until finally they're convinced that you have to do it in this particular way. So now it's realization, but they learned it through third-class intelligence. But the point is it's gained. They have it. That's why elders are protected. Right? So these elder senior women, then they've gone through this. They've experienced it. Now they can very confidently tell the younger women how it should happen. Right? Because it's experience. It's there's realization, but it's in the field that these younger women are going to be able to appreciate. Well, the man explains it to the younger women. They may appreciate it or not, because there may be too much science in it or too many rules in it. It's not personal. It's not living. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right. So, like that. So there's always that weakness. But the point is if the men aren't there to protect those elder women, then those elder women aren't going to train the younger women. Right? And the younger women aren't going to be enthused if they're not seeing the support of the elder men. Right? So in other words, because the elder men are there, that's what you should do. They want to do it to please. same time as they're guided and taken care of by the elder women who give them specific details in their life. Right? The men won't get into such detail. The women can. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Yeah? Yes.
Can you please expand on the necessity of being sensitive to the needs of the dependents?
Sensitive to the needs of the dependents.
Yeah, in the protection.
What's the doubt?
Doubt is that sometimes I have seen that those that are in a management position, they say that, you know, just give up your conditioned nature, you know, just surrender, just...
Why don't they give up theirs and stop managing? Why don't they wash pots for Krishna, go out and distribute books for Krishna, go out and just preach at colleges for Krishna?
Some of them, they do, but...
The ones that do don't say that. Or the ones that do set an example, then they should be able to explain to you how to. Because notice that they'll tell you give it up, but do they tell you how? No, because they don't know themselves. The point is does Gita say give up your conditioned nature? No, so then what philosophy are they talking? Yeah, it's an impossible philosophy. It doesn't exist. When the four Kumaras ask the Hamsavatar, when will the mind and the senses stop interacting? He said that's a stupid question. And then when Kunti brings it up to Kapila, he confirms that it's a useless question. It's not going to happen. The point is that you're supposed to engage your nature in Krishna's service. So whether it's material or spiritual, that doesn't matter. His point is it engaged in Krishna's service? Right? So the point is to not give up your nature. How can you give up your nature? What are you going to function with then? You know? What they're saying is give up your anxieties, this and that. But it sounds much better if you say it according to the... You know? So most managers use the Sarvadharmam Parityaja. But according to that, then what's his position for saying it? Why is he saying it? Based on what? Has he done it? Right? He's a manager. Why? Because he likes managing. You know, why can't he be satisfied doing something else? You know, the point is like Prabhupada said, the temples should be centers of education, right? I mean, so it means every temple should be having these courses and giving degrees to the qualified students. But why isn't it happening? Because their nature is managers, not Brahmins. Right? Does that make sense? Bhuri Johnson Vrindavan, he starts, you know, a very, you know, dynamic program there. And he's part of the local management. But how is it he's able to do it and no one else is? Because he's a Brahmin. You know, he knows how to manage, you know, education. And the same principles you can apply in the temple, because the schedule you'd have for the kids is the same as adults, or vice versa. So he can relate to that. But if it gets bigger than that, then it's not going to be his field. You know what I'm saying? But because he's a Brahmin, therefore he can relate to it. But even if the president is not a Brahmin, the point is he's supposed to have advisors. And those advisors, at least some of them, should be Brahmins. And so then someone else can see to the education. So not only do they can't give up their nature, they won't take their nature and actually improve it and expand it to include so it becomes complete. And then they're going to tell you to give up your nature, which is something against scriptures. No scripture says give up your nature. It says engage your nature. But you have to engage in a way that's favorable for Krishna consciousness. Okay? You seem to be very meditative. Is that because we said something wrong, or just contemplating all that, or?
I was just thinking about a temple president.
Sorry?
I was just thinking about what a temple president.
Okay, yeah. No, but that one's the most popular. That he said, "Yeah, just give up. You know, surrender to Krishna. Give up that, you know, like that." Nice. You know, as he tells you before, he has to go home because his wife's calling him. Right? You know, like that. That's the one. So you're out on Sam Catan, and he's having to take his family, you know, out on something because he promised it was, you know, this birthday, and he had to be there. And like that. You know, so I have no problem that the grihasthas, and they do these things, but they shouldn't. They should understand it's everybody's engaged connecting their nature. You know, and if the brahmacharis and they put themselves in the senior position, they should be protecting them, not exploiting them. You know, at the same time, they should be respecting them because they're doing something he's not doing now. He may have done it before, but he's not doing it now. You know, full-time service in the temple, he's not doing it. You know, does that make sense? Because for a grihastha, full time means outside of family time, then you're doing service. Right? But brahmacharis, there is no family time. So all they are doing is service. Of course, they sleep. You know, that's they harass each other, steal maha, you know, important things. Okay, so here this problem with Varna Shankara, what it means is Varna Shankara. Shankara means mixed. So the Varna is mixed. So they don't know what they are. Right? They just don't know who they are. And so they don't know how to act. If you don't know who you are, you can't act. So then you have this mix of things. You want to be in charge, but at the same time you have this artistic thing that's just trying to get out. At the same time as, you know, you want to study all these things. At the same time you have these great ideas for business. And, you know, so what do you do? That's the problem. So you end up, you know, eventually with time, one becomes more prominent and you kind of work that out. But why waste, you know, 25, 30, 40 years of your life to figure that out? It should be right from the beginning. Like Bart Maharaj, he knew he's a Kshatriya. So at 3 years old, he's going out, catching tigers, tying up with a rope and tying them to trees and then playing with them. Right? And, you know, the tigers don't seem to fight back because they know he'll, you know, beat them. So they're quite submissive. You understand? He knows who he is. You know? Astavakra knows who he is. In the womb of his mother, he is giving points on grammar that his father gets so upset that, you know, who does he think he is that he curses him? You know, that'll have bent in eight places. You know, and at 8 years old, he goes and defeats the court pundit. At eight, he stops the king's procession on the road because the road belongs to the Brahmins. So the king wants to use it. He has to come and talk to us. And he's eight. And the king's out with his whole army. And the king agrees. And he says, you know, okay, let's do this. You know, what do you want? You know, and he wants to argue with the chief pundit, the court pundit. They don't want him to because the rule is that whoever is defeated by him gets drowned in the ocean, right? So they don't want to see a kid get drowned in the ocean, but he's not worried about it, right? Like that. Does this make sense? They know who they are, you know. So that's the whole thing. Is it gets mixed, it gets lost. So there is no focus, there is no determination. Otherwise, you know who you are, you know what you want to do, and therefore you get it done, right? You're a student, and you know there's basic things that every human being follows. So that you have to become good at. Then there's specific things for what you want to do in the future with your life. So you learn, you focus on those. And then you're educated, then you come out, and then you either don't get married and preach and that, or you get married, and then you know what to do. So if people aren't like that, that's called Shankara. Does this make sense? It's just not clear. They don't know what they want. Does that make sense? So that's the problem, because it's a problem for anybody who's in this position. Either if they're sincere, they want to be a devotee, it's a problem because they don't know quite what to do. Or, if they're not sincere, they make trouble for everybody else. Because they'll do things that they're not qualified to do. Yes?
So, Maharaj, you said rather than wasting 40 years, is the solution to the school from Master to develop a scorpion?
That's there, but one, but it has to be able to, it has to be realized. It has to be able to fit itself. Does that make sense? It has to be able to fit oneself. Means, in other words, on the basis of the knowledge, it has to be able, you're comfortable with it and you can apply it. That's it.
Very simply, how do you get to know about
it? How do you get to know? First of all, understand the principle is that in application of something, then you're applying a field to get a particular result. So what are the relationships in the field? Those are set. And therefore, and the performance of an activity is set if you want a specific result. You know what I'm saying? You want apple juice, then you have to take apples, put them in a blender, and blend them. Right? Then you'll get apple juice. Right? You can't take oranges and put it in there and get apple juice. You know, or you can't take the apple and, you know, stick it under the front wheel of your truck and then roll over it, you know. You know, so you it means, in other words, the field, the activity, and the goal have to be matched. Otherwise, it's not possible to get. Right? So that means whatever is the result you want, you have to perform that activity and you have to take up the role that goes with those two. You know what I'm saying? So if you want, let's say, to make money in a business, you have to follow the rules of a business. Even if your nature is not business, you have to do it that way. You know what I'm saying? Or you work at a job, then then you have to take up the nature, or the duties of a Shudra. Even if at the temple you're the head pujari, it doesn't matter. At the work, you're taking the position of a Shudra. You have to follow the rules of a Shudra. Right? If you're doing something that's brahminical, you have to take that position. Otherwise, there'll be problems. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So that's the first point. So one may find that one has a very clear nature, or one may find that there's many mixtures. It doesn't matter. If it's clear, it makes it easy. If there's a mix, whichever one is being applied, that one you have to follow the rules for that. Not that, well, I'm a Brahmin, so therefore it makes a difference, I'm at work. No, you've taken the position of a Shudra. You have to act like one. When you go home, then you be the Brahmin. But at work, you're the Shudra. That's just the way it is. Right? So basically, it's very easy. It means ashram, are you, how you say, studying and not married. Right? That's a brahmachari. Right? If you're married, or interested in being married, or interested in all the facilities for being married, you're a grihastha. Right? When it's been there, done that, but it's still comfortable to work in that environment to do your service, that's vanaprastha. Right? And when the position is that of indifference, then that's sannyas. Right? So brahmachari means menial servant. Right? Grihastha means engaging the senses in the Lord's service. Vanaprastha means not engaging the senses. You know, in other words, unfavorable engagement of the senses in the Lord's service. Right? In other words, what's positive, nice things are engaged. Vanaprastha means not nice things are engaged. You know, being very austere and all that. Focusing on, it's still like grihastha, focused on the senses, but now it's in the reverse. You know, the grihastha sees that he's always getting things are nice. The vanaprastha basically sees that it's, you know, just minimal and that's it, only what you need to get by. So as devotees, we don't need to be that austere, but it's just don't have anything extra that's going to take away time from your sadhana and preaching. Right? And sannyas is indifference. So then on the other side, varna is if studying and teaching is the basis of your occupation. You know, and those things that are based on scriptures. In other words, applying the scriptural things to train others in, or those occupations that are brahminical occupations, like medicine or law, like this, that's brahminical. If it's to do with administration and influence, right? That where protection is the central feature, right? Not management, not paperwork, protection. That's why his point is that's not Kshatriya. Generally, Vaishyas make that point. Or Kshatriyas make it because it's control. Just surrender. Just do what you're supposed to. Be dutiful. But you can tell the difference if it's a Kshatriya or Vaishya saying it. So it's protection. Vaishya means they generate economics. They generate money. And they give in charity. And Shudra means they help the others. So it's very simple. So are you is your basis education, means where you're leading that? In other words, Brahmashatya Vaishyas are leading in their field. You're leading in economics, in administration, or in education. And if you're not, then you're a Shudra. It's that easy. Because Shudra is common person. Dvijas are the leaders of the common people. Right? Not that Shudra means disgusting. Low class, you know, something on the bottom of your shoe you wipe off on the doormat, you know, like that. No, Shudra is normal people. If you go out on the street, let's say you go anywhere into, you know, your big city and go out on the street, right? You know, in the middle of the city where there's the maximum amount of people. What are you looking at? You're looking at big Brahmins, you know, big professors or big doctors and that. You know, are you looking at, you know, the people who are administrating the city or the country? Are you looking at all those big fat businessmen and all that? Or you're looking at everybody else? There might be one or two, a limo drives by, you know, or, you know, one or two intellectuals might here and there go. But in the mass, the thousands of people that go there, you're looking at Shudras. Right? So there's nothing wrong with Shudras. But Shudras need direction. So therefore, there's those who are direct in economics, you need that. Administration, to hold that all and create the environment. And education. So it's actually very easy to figure out one's varna and ashram. It's as easy to figure out one's varna as it is to figure out one's ashram. But people are afraid of that because nobody wants to be the Shudra. But most devotees, as an occupation, they're Shudras. Most devotees, as an occupation, they're Shudras. But they don't, oh no, but we're not this body, Prabhu. Of course you're not, but that's the occupation that your conditioned nature is doing. Your body, your mind, your intelligence, your false ego is at a job. Right? You know, you may not be that job, but somehow or another, you're not that job. You sort of like the money that comes from that job. So if you're not that money, then why is it you just give it to the temple? No, you need that, so then you're responsible. You did the work. You get the result. That means then you have to have the identity. Technically not. It's just the way the Vaishyas like to control everything and bring themselves under their control. That's the problem with the bourgeois society. It sounds great. You know, it's all for the benefit of everything, but it's actually, then economy becomes the central feature rather than brahminical culture. So teachers means, if you're a teacher, you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, you know, these kind of things, these are traditionally, you know, brahminical activities. I mean a doctor. I don't mean a nurse or an anesthesiist. Like that. Those are Shudras to Brahmins. You know, you're a salesperson or you're marketing manager. You're still a Shudra to the businessman. Because you have to, you're doing marketing, but you can't open your own. If you're doing marketing in a big company and you could open your own business, but, you know, you're working with here, that's, you know, still, you're in the position of a Shudra. But you technically could be a Brahmin. I mean, a Vaishya. But if you couldn't, you know, your job falls through in this company, you go to another company, then you're a Shudra. Generally, most all the guys with the MBAs are Shudras. Because they work for a Vaishya. The Vaishya doesn't have the degree, he makes the money. MBAs, Master of Business Administration. Sometimes, at least now it's popular, the businessmen go through that because it's somehow or another more reputable, or they'll learn some things about the modern market that you may not catch. You know, but they could just buy the books and read them, but you know, so it's, you know, the atmosphere is there. Since they have to go to school anyway, might as well go for a business degree rather than something else. You know, what are you going to do with it? You know, but generally speaking, they're shudras. You know, architects are shudras. You know, unless they know the science, the vastu science, and are based on that, therefore they do it. But generally speaking, still they're shudras. The Vedic sense, the guys that deal with the vastu, the silpis, are shudras. But they're a special shudra because they have to deal with the shastra, so they have a Brahman thread. But they're still shudras. So they have a mantra that's connected with the Atharva Veda that deals with the forms of the deities. But they don't have the Brahma Gayatri, but they wear a thread, so you know that that's the head god. So it's very, very subtle, you know, but very simple. You know, what's your motive? Why are you doing it? The Brahmin can sing, the Shudra can sing. You know, they both, that's what they do is singing. But one sings for the deity, it won't sing for the public. The other one sings for the public because he makes money. And occasionally he'll sing for the deity as service. You know what I'm saying? The Kshatriya is managing and he's generating money because from money he can run the administration. Right? And the Shudra has administration, I mean the Vaishya has administration, a big Vaishya, so that he can then ensure that he makes lots of money. So you can tell by the mentality, even if what they're doing looks the same. Does that make sense? So it's not a difficult science. The difficulty is generally speaking, very few actually want to know what it is because no one wants to be the Shudra. No one wants to be the Shudra. Everyone wants to be in charge. So therefore, then you use the philosophy, oh, we're devotees, it doesn't matter. Yes, if we're devotees, it doesn't matter. So live in the temple or just do full-time, you know, sit down and chant and do like that and preach. Then it's fine. But as soon as you want to come in and control things and manage things and make hierarchy and rules, then you're out of your element. The Shudra shouldn't be doing that. Right? Of course, now the people should be represented so you know what the people are comfortable with, but at the same time as the people don't know what they should be comfortable with. Like that. That comes from Scripture. So that is, then the Dwijas have to establish. So then, oh no, but then it's a high, but they'll do it anyway. Oh no, but they're in charge, this, that, but yeah, but then you want to make a committee that's not based on Varnashram. You'll pick who's in charge, you'll make rules to establish on everybody, but they're not God's rules. And you're not qualified to apply them. Otherwise, where are all those Varnashram committees? Where are they? What have they ever done? Nothing. Where are they? Defunct. They may be in the books, they're not functioning. There's a few devotees that they get right in there, study it, and do it themselves. Start a farm, start a project. They're able to do something with it. But the difficulty is they can only apply it on a farm. They can't apply it in the city. That's where the weakness comes. And most devotees are in the city. So there's a weakness there. How to apply Varnashram in the city? But then you'd really have to know Varnashram to do that. You know what I'm saying? It's very, very simple. But the problem is no one wants to know about it. They all talk about it. They don't want to know about it. So it's either it can't be applied, which it can be. That's stupid. It's God's laws. Why can't it be applied? If you say Varnashram can't be applied, you're saying there can be no human life in Kali Yuga. Everybody has to be animals. That's what you're saying. It's that direct. Because human life starts with Varnashram. So if you're not following Varnashram, you're not human. Right? Does that make sense? Now, let me say, but devotional service. Devotional service is the part that's beyond. So yes, it's because of devotional service we are able to do some activities. It's not because you're a human. You understand? Because if devotional service wasn't there, what would you be doing? nice, pious things according to Bar Nashon. No, you'd be doing all sinful nonsense according to, you know, the upstanding, you know, up-to-date Malechas and Yabana culture. Right? That's what we'd be doing. So that's not the point. So this balance between understanding we're not the body, but at the same time being able to work with the body. But generally devotees, we're not the body, so they don't consider the body or gross or subtle body at all. Or they say we're not the body and then do things exactly according to their conditioned nature. Right? You know, women's lib, we're not the body, and then exactly because they're a woman, they have to be able to do it. But if you're not the body, then you shouldn't care whether you do it or not, because, you know, why is it that women have to be able to do it? Isn't that bodily conception? You just said we're not this body, Prabhu. You know, it doesn't make sense. Does that make sense? So it's not that, it's a matter of service to Krishna. What will work is service to Krishna. What is best for service for Krishna? Then you decide. That's why Varnashram is there. Because it establishes what work will get done the best. Yes?
What is bourgeois society?
Bourgeois. Bourgeois means the business class. You know, they have some money, and therefore, as they get more money, then they want more influence. Because what happens is you have your Brahmins, you have your nobility. But then much of the time, nobility may or may not be good at maintaining themselves and keeping up on the money. But sometimes businessmen are very good at it. So they'll have more money than, let's say, nobility. But the nobility has the say in what things get done. So then the bourgeois wants to have that control also, because they're living the same lifestyle. But what they don't see is that there are... One is that if they're untrained, of course, there's not much difference, but there's more considerations of culture and religion and all that in the nobility than there will be in the businessmen. You know what I'm saying? Because you see is that the nobility is always worried about religion and certain cultural things and this and that, even though it may be wrong how they're dealing with it. But still, it's very much part of their consideration. Well, business people, as long as it makes money, it's not so important. Maybe personally they have feelings, but they don't. You know, it's like I think it was this Murdoch guy. Right? Hmm? The Australian star the star TV kind of thing. Rupert Murdoch. So when it first came out, then some, you know, journalists and all that approached him in an interview, say, well, you know, wouldn't you consider that the stuff on the Star TV is quite not up to a good social standard, that it might be degrading to the family life and everything, social life and all that. And his comment was, I wouldn't let my family watch it. He says, it's just business. People want this trash. And I'm giving it to them, and I'm making money from their idiotness, you know. But I won't let my family do that, you know. So they may have personal value. This is what I'm saying: is they have personal values, but in business it doesn't matter, right? But the Kshatriya is they have personal values. Everybody else better be doing it, right? Does that make sense? That's the difference. Okay. Since Arjuna was influenced by false ego, all of his apparently good arguments were actually tainted by selfishness. He wanted to leave the battlefield because of family attachment. This is the biggest disgrace for a Kshatriya. Still, Arjuna tried to rationalize his cowardice, deceiving himself that his reluctance to fight was caused by compassion, wisdom, and detachment. He did not have the courage to face his actual motives because his self-esteem would be destroyed. So this is why devotees can't face Varnashram. They feel that their self-esteem will be lost. Because it doesn't matter. Like one famous example that you see, I've talked to it for years, and then after years, then I met the devotee. I had heard about him. He was in New Vrindavan. He would dress Radharani every day. Get up, they'd get up at 2 in the morning, chant all their japa, and then go in and they do the puja and all that. Because there they had Mangalarti, you know, I say Nisringa, Tulsi Puja, Guru Puja, like this all right after another. It was back to back. So by 6 o'clock in the morning, then everybody went to the field. So this devotee then after breakfast, he'd go and drive a tractor for 12 hours all day and just plow the fields. And then all he would do is talk about Chaitanya Charitamrita. He had any discussion with his Chaitanya Charitamrita. He'd say, oh, what do you think of this? And then he'd bring up things from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So all he'd do is talk Chaitanya Charitamrita, Leela and stuff like that. But he'd drive a tractor all day. Right? So as sadhana, as a devotee, you know, he's doing deity worship. Right? Based on that. And because of this, he's also absorbed in Krishna's pastimes. Because these things are chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping the deity. They're beyond these considerations. Right? Though there'll be some influence. You see, how many people do you see? Generally, you see someone either is very devotional or more brahminical if they always are doing deity worship. Right? So then later on, then this devotee took sannyas. And then I one day I was in a meeting and all that, and I think he came up to me and he said, I'm the one I always talk about. Because I used to use the example quite regularly. So driving the tractor, he's driving it from the position of a Shudra. He does it right. According, they tell him where to go. He's not the big guy telling him. They say, plow this field. He plows it. Right? He drives a tractor according to how a tractor has to be driven. So he's doing the art of driving a tractor. But at the same time, is that there seems to be that underlying brahminical nature. But in that situation, then this is what was available for him. Right? Because, they weren't thinking, wow, this guy could teach Chaitanya Charitamrita or teach deity worship. No, they think we have a field to plow, so he's doing it. But later on, he's taking sannyas. You see, underlying nature was actually brahminical, but when he was doing Shudra activities, he'd do it perfectly. And he had no problem that he was, Radharani's, Pujari at the same time he drove a tractor all day. And he wouldn't talk Pujalpa, he'd only talk about Chaitanya Lila. So if devotees can come and understand what are their motives, what's their position, then there's no problem. Then you take that and connect it to Krishna. But they're so worried about the social prestige and self-esteem that, I'm doing this or I'm doing that. You know what I'm saying? Point is, someone has a brahminical nature, but he can't maintain himself that way. He goes out and gets a job, but he still has to act at that job like a Shudra. When the job's over, then he goes back to being a Brahmin. It's not ideal, it's mixed, it's not recommended, but that's the way it is. So you're going to have then two opposing arguments to this point. The pro-Vedic will say, no, but if he's doing Shudra work, he's not actually a Brahmin. He's only doing the devotional activities because of the nature of the souls beyond. So he's actually a Shudra. And then the more liberal, how can you say he's a Shudra, doing that in that situation because, he's a Brahmin, we're not this body. You understand? Both have missed the point. Point is this, whatever you're doing, you have to do it according to the nature of what you're doing. It's not that you can do it how you like. You know what I'm saying? The brahmacharya is the temple president. Fine. But he has grihasthas in his community. Fine. He's dealing with those grihasthas. He can't deal with them like a brahmacharya. He has to deal with them because as grihasthas, understanding their needs and how they deal. Right? So that's the way it is. You can't say, well, we're brahmacharyas, we don't get into this kind of stuff. No, it doesn't matter. You're taking a position where you're taking care of people under you, and dependents happen to be grihasthas. You have to deal with them. Vice versa. When the grihastha is the temple president, he has to deal with the brahmacharyas according to their need and nature. You can't say, oh, that's all fanatic and all that. What? Both of those positions would be irreligious, sinful. But we're doing it for Krishna. But are you dealing badly with grihasthas or brahmacharyas and that's for Krishna? You don't know their nature and you're supposed to be in charge of them and you're dealing against their nature. And that's it. Did Krishna deal with Arjuna against his nature? He's a Kshatriya. Did he sweet talk him? No, he just told him, you're a fool, you're an idiot, right? And I shut you. What? You know? No, I can do it. What do you mean? You know, so he's like that. And he left him in the position of a kshatriya. So he dealt with him as a kshatriya, everything like that. So what is this, where is this concept come from? We're not this body, so we can do anything like that. Technically, whatever you can do nicely for Krishna, yes, you can do it. It doesn't matter. The head pujari cleans the toilet. That doesn't matter. That's nice. He'll probably do a better job than anyone else because he knows what cleanliness is. Like, he has seen a rag before. Right? You know? So, does that make sense? But it doesn't mean now he's a Shudra. Does it make sense? Now, if he takes up his occupation as now just cleaning toilets, and that's how he makes his money, then he has to do that as a Shudra. You can't walk into your house and say, okay, I'm a Brahmin and I'll tell you how it's done. No, it's like, I'm hiring you, you do it the way I want. That's why Brahmins, as a policy, don't accept the position of Shudra, because then you Shudra means you're going to be insulted in some way, because people are telling you what to do and you may like or not like to do it, and that's just the way it is. You want the job, you have to do it. Does this make sense? So there's very, very fine points that seem contradictory, but they're not. That's why in the Vedic system it said, you know, a Brahmin shouldn't do these things, because but if that's all there is, that's what you do. Yes.
As you're saying, most people wouldn't want to accept their sudra because it would affect their self-esteem. It isn't a sudra who's connected with a good master. You know, he doesn't have responsibility. He's properly situated. He's got
What's our opinion of Vidura?
He's highly elevated.
Highly elevated. He's a sudra. What about Sanjaya? He's a Shudra. What about Daruka, Krishna's charioteer? He's a Shudra. Matali, Shudra. You understand? So it's not that the position of Shudra isn't respected. Right? What about Urvasi? Technically, unless she marries a king or something like that, then she's a queen. But otherwise, technically, she's just a position of a Shudra. But they're all respected. So that's the thing, is it's not that Shudras aren't respected, but it means you're good at what you're good at, you're respected for that. Just like, you know, does that make sense? So that's the point, is that Shudra is common, so there's no special respect for it. Brahman is special. Therefore, whether you're very good at it or not so good at it, still the position is special. Therefore, it's respected. But Shudra is the common point, so therefore it's not, doesn't separately stand and have its own respect. But you're very good at your field, then you're respected for that. You're respected for your ability. Right? I remember in one, it was a, may have been an article I saw. I forget what it was. I think they were talking about either the state candidacy or even the presidential candidacy. This is quite some time back, maybe in the 80s or 90s. And in one article, it was an interview, you know, a serious interview, of who was considered like the top, you know, society girl in San Francisco, I think. She was very famous. She was so well known and, I guess, so expert in her field. That they were asking her questions about, you know, the greater society and what would be good for, you know, the presidential candidate I think it was a state election. I think it was for, you know, governor and these kind of things. You know, what things she would think would be good for people to be involved and this and that. And she was giving very nice considerations, you know, I guess because she deals with a very wide range of people, so she has a... But the point is that when you get to a certain level, one is respected. Right? And you might find that these administrators and other, you know, intellectuals are taking her advice, you know, in that field that they feel she might have something to say. But you can be sure that they're not going to marry their son to her. Right? So she still has that social standing, but it's not that in that social standing she's not respected. Why does the Bhagavatam always mention the society girls? Right? They're very respected in the society, but they're still society girls. Right? So that's the thing, the Vedic culture, you can accommodate that an individual can have a position, but at the same time, others can also have a, simultaneously have a position based on whatever it is gives them their position. Right? The Western is it's always one way. I'm in charge, you're nothing. You know? Right? Unless you're networking, then you try to do this and that. But actually, if you have something going on, somebody has to be in charge and somebody's not. But the Vedic is you can have who's in charge or not, and who's in charge can still respect who the junior for his qualities. You know? I think Prabhupada was talking about Bosch. I don't remember if it was Bosch meaning his company, the company in charge of the Bosch Industries, or Bosch meaning the freedom fighter. But in any case, he was talking about, because in either one, they're either Kshatriyas or Vaishyas. But he used to, many times when he'd want to go out and contemplate things very deeply, he'd go out for a drive in his car with his driver. You know, and driver was an elderly man. And ask a lot of things to run so much of his ideas past the driver. He's a driver. But he has a lot of experience in life. So his age, he's respected for his age and his experience in just day-to-day life. So then, you know, things that they could give advice. Because they know common people. You know, the Shudra knows common people. So you can say, yes, people would prefer this or wouldn't that, or this is their anxiety with the government now, or this is that, or this is, you know. They can say, so they're respected. So in the Vedic society, these people are brought in to give their opinion. They're not brought in to run the place. Right? The king still runs the place, but he takes advice from elders. So specifically Brahmins, but also Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, in the fields where it's applicable that he needs direction. Does this make sense? You know, so a community leader may be asked, you know, what about this policy? The king wants to apply this policy. So they'll find out what the community leader thinks of it. The community leader is just, generally speaking, another Shudra. He's a bigger one that can, you know, organize more people. Does that make sense? You know, so like that. It's a very sophisticated system. Very simple, but very sophisticated. The Westerners also have a problem with this concept, that you can have something that's simple and sophisticated. To them, simple means it's not sophisticated. And complex means sophisticated. No, but the Vedic is the opposite. Simple is the most sophisticated. Because it's so consistent that everything is connected, so there's a very simple explanation for it. And it works very simply, very straightforward. But it's so sophisticated, it can accommodate a great variety of things. Okay. Arjuna tried to avoid his social obligations as a warrior by pleading so-called higher moral principles. Thus, he wanted to establish moral principles over social obligations. Right? So, moral principles is on pranamoy. And that he's trying to establish over dharma. Right? So, artha he's trying to establish as above dharma. So, that's a problem here. Right? Because being nice, be good, be consistent, but then he has a moral obligation. I mean, he has a religious obligation as a Kshatriya to fight. Right? But he's trying to say, no, being good, be nice, but it's actually coming from pranamoy. It's just justice and economics. It's not actually that, you know, why we should get involved in this. You know, because coming up with that, that makes sense. Arjuna wanted to, but since the Lord himself was resolved for the fight, all those apparently important considerations were without substance. Right? Because it only has meaning if you connect it to Krishna. Krishna wanted to fight, so where's the connection? Reasoning and emotions have meaning only when they are connected with the Lord. Arjuna wanted to abandon his duty and live an idle life of frustration, but since the soul is always active, it is not possible to stay in such superficial position for a long time. Srila Prabhupada comments in Path of Perfection. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was refusing to act, and Krishna was inspiring him to engage in activity. The entire Bhagavad Gita is an inspiration to work, to engage in Krishna consciousness, to act on Krishna's behalf. Sitting still in one place is just for those who do not know how to work sensibly. As long as the child sits in one place, he does not raise havoc. Sitting still means negative nonsense, negating nonsense. It is not positive activity. In negation, there is no life. Positive activity constitutes life, and positive activity is the message of Bhagavad Gita. Spiritual life is not don't do this. Spiritual life is do this, right? The don't do this is those things that get in the way of do this. But like I said before, if we make this community thing, oh, then can't do this, can't do this, can't do this, can't do this. But it's negative. It doesn't actually stop. That's why there's no community. There's no life. Community means life. So it has to be dynamic. What should be done? What should be going on? Right? Oh yeah, if they get divorced, kick them out. Okay, so cool. Okay, nice. But, you know, but that's the negative. Is there a positive, you know, see that people are trained properly, see that, you know, proper matches are made, see that people are within marriage and seeing that it's going on, that they know what to do. Any resolution like that? Go ahead, knock me out. No, nothing. Why? Because no one in that room can do any of that. That's why. Right? We're not saying divorce is correct. We're just saying is that the point is divorce is happening after so many other failings. So what are you going to do about those failings? You know? That makes sense? You know, there's no railing on the roof, and so you make a rule, you know, any kid who goes up on the roof, you know, we're going to kick out of the community, right? So then he goes up on the roof, falls off the roof, and then they kick him out. So, but wouldn't it be easier to make railings? You know, but that means you have to know what's there. You know, you have to know what a child is. You know, how big they are, how what they can climb, what they can climb through. Right? So that means you have to be knowledgeable. You have to be learned. You have to be an elder. You know, age isn't enough for elder. Here when they say elder, they don't mean age. Right? Because they're worried. If the elders are killed, who are the elders in this consideration? The Kshatriyas. Is that what you said? Yeah, Drona, but otherwise, but so they're only worried about those two? Or what about all the kings that are there? Are they elders in their kingdom? Right? How old is Abhimanyu? 16. But he's worried that if he's killed, then this whole process will stop. Because then if he's killed, then his wife, who may be 12 years old or 14 years old, won't be protected. Right? So he's an elder. Right? So elder means you know the value of the Vedic system and you are working to establish it and to make it accessible to those who are dependents. Right? So positive means what are you doing to make it work? Right? In order to act properly, there are certain things that one must know not to do. Therefore, certain activities are forbidden. Right? So Prabhupada says, it's only because you're supposed to act properly, so since you can't act properly, therefore, just like you're supposed to chant Hare Krishna. But the four good principles are there because when one is doing those four, generally one is not chanting Hare Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? You know, unless somehow or another, I don't know, you have an Australian left-handed, you know, those machines, you know, you put it, yeah, the one on bandits. Yeah. They're generally always the right. Now, it's hard. Now, how are you going to chant your japa and pull one of those at the same time? You know what I'm saying? Poker. You can't play poker and chant your japa at the same time. You understand? So they don't allow for these things. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So there's no way to connect it to Krishna. Right? You know, husband and wife are having a relationship, but they can connect that to Krishna. But if it's not husband and wife, how do you connect that to Krishna? So therefore you can't think of Krishna. That's the problem with it. Moralists will have another idea what's wrong with it. But the real problem is these are the most intense activities that take one's consciousness away from thinking of Krishna. Does that make sense? That's why they're not done. There's certain things one must know not to do. Therefore, certain activities are forbidden. The whole Bhagavad Gita, however, is do. Krishna's saying fight. He's not saying don't. He's not saying don't be so attached, right? He's saying fight. Krishna says, fight for me. At the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna told Krishna, I will not fight, Sri Krishna said, my dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the progressive values of life. They do not lead to higher planets, but to infamy. Right? So he's talking about proper doing things and getting proper results. Krishna directly tells Arjuna that he is speaking like a non-Aryan. That is, like one who does not know the spiritual values of life. So Krishna conscious does not mean sitting down idly. Krishna himself does not sit down idly. All his pastimes are filled with activity. When we go to the spiritual world, we will see that Krishna is always engaged in dancing, eating, and enjoying. He does not sit down to meditate. Is there any account of the gopis meditating? Did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sit down to meditate? No. He was always dancing and chanting Hare Krishna. The spirit soul is naturally active. How can we sit down silently and do nothing? It is not possible. And this is path of perfection. Although an illusion, Arjuna had the valor to reveal his doubts and to seek the shelter of Krishna. He was a kind and soft-hearted devotee. As such, he was fit to receive spiritual knowledge. So even though he had this problem, and that basically was based on activities, though the motives may not have been up to the standard. But still, he was able to reveal these, which we see Duryodhana is not. He's revealing Duryodhana is not. He's approaching authority to get guided by them, while Duryodhana is approaching authority to get them to do what he wants. Right? So we see in all these cases the opposite between the divine and the demoniac mentality. Right? So then this makes them fit to receive. So now with chapter 2, then we have the contents of the Gita summarized, so it appears we'll start on Monday instead of today. Okay? So then one should read this nicely and read what's here. In other words, if you've read all this, it's not new when we talk about it, so you'll be able to go farther. One of the difficulties we've had, if you'll notice, means it's not a problem. Means is that the questions, even though they're connected, but sometimes they're not exactly the topic, right? And especially Varnashram, it's a very broad thing. So it's not the whole Varnashram system here, they're talking about a specific in it. But that'll give rise to Varnashram. And as we go, we may end up with, you know, things about gurus or this, you know, and other things that are topical, you know, within the society will come up. So be sure that your question is in connection to that, even though it may be a little extended, but in understanding it in relationship to the Gita. Don't just go off into it because it's in personal interest. Because otherwise, like this, then the delay goes. Does that make sense? Like that. But as we go, these points will become more and more understood. So as we go, we'll probably find we can go quicker and quicker through the chapters. But these first few chapters will probably be, I would say the first six chapters probably will be more slow. Because then after that it goes into devotional service. Generally there's not much question on that. And then the last chapters are very technical, spiritual. So if you've read them, they mean something. So if you've read it, it's not a new concept. So you're not trying to get your head around the concept. You should already read the book, read the study guide, so that the concepts aren't new. Now it's a matter of fitting together, taking them farther, seeing how to apply them. Right? Then you're going to get the most out of them. Yes? No? Okay, sorry.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki Chaitanya Gaura Premanandi.